Nothing had escaped his wrath. Everything that had stood had been reduced to an unrecognizable mess of what it had once been. What he did not anticipate, however, was that when he returned to the Gryffindor common room, the girl he had encountered the night he arrived was there once again. Much to his relief, she was fully dressed this time.
"Oh, hello,"
she greeted him awkwardly.
"It's Harry, right?"
Harry nodded.
"Don't worry. Professor Dumbledore spoke to me. I won't tell anyone anything," she assured him.
"Thank you," Harry replied gratefully. In truth, he hadn't given the girl much thought, but her presence did leave him pondering what she was doing there.
"Where's everybody else?"
he asked.
"They left for the summer the day you came," she answered. "That's why..." "Never mind."
"You were practicing transfiguration half-naked,"
Harry finished. The girl blushed before shooting him a somewhat familiar, stern glare.
"It helps me be creative," she said hotly.
Harry held up his hands to placate the girl.
"I'm not judging. It was just not something I expected." "But I didn't expect a random boy from the future to come in," she returned.
Harry conceded the point with an amused nod.
"If everyone else has left for the summer, why are you here?"
he asked.
"I'm working with Professor Dumbledore on a project," she explained proudly. "I'm hoping that he may take me on as an apprentice when I'm finished here."
"In Transfiguration?" The girl nodded enthusiastically.
"It's what I'm best at. Ever since my first lesson, I fell in love with it. Most people don't understand because it's hard for them, but not for me."
"You looked very good from what I saw," Harry said before his eyes widened in horror.
"I meant your spell work, not anything else."
The girl's cheeks reddened as the realization of what he said dawned.
"I do not know if I should be grateful that you were referring to my spell work, or offended that you did not like what you saw," she mused aloud.
Harry did not know what to say, and instead gaped dumbly at the girl who eventually took pity on him.
"Do you make a habit of putting your foot in it?"
Harry rubbed the back of his neck as he nodded.
"It happens more than I would like it to,"
the girl snorted, a bright smile cresting her lips.
"Then maybe we should forget what happened," she suggested.
Harry readily agreed with a nod as he offered his hand.
"I'm Harry Potter."
She took the proffered limb.
"Minerva McGonagall."
Harry immediately stiffened. He knew the glare she had given him was familiar. It was the same one he had been on the receiving end of more than a few times in the last 5 years.
"Is something wrong?"
Minerva asked worriedly.
"What is it?"
Harry shook his head.
"No, nothing's wrong," he said.
The girl tutted.
"You're a terrible liar."
"It's not anything bad," Harry tried to assure her. But the girl glared at him again and he almost withered under it.
"If it is anything bad, then why won't you tell me?"
"Because I shouldn't," Harry sighed. "There are things I want to change, but others I don't. If I say too much, I don't know what will happen." Minerva frowned thoughtfully, but nodded her acceptance.
"But you know who I am," she pressed.
"You could say that," Harry chuckled.
"Oh, Merlin, I'm not your mother or anything like that, am I?"
Harry shook his head.
"Bloody hell, no,"
he said firmly. "We're not related. Besides, if you were my mother, you would have been 60 when I was born." Minerva grimaced.
"I've never thought of myself as older before. Thanks for that, Harry."
Harry released a deep sigh.
"I'm sorry, it's just a shock for me, all of this. I think for now, the less said about some things, the better. All I will say is that you are very respected and well thought of by everyone."
Minerva pondered this.
"That'll do for now," she said finally. "I can't imagine how hard this is for you."
Harry could only shrug.
"What can I do? I could spend my life complaining and sulking about it, or I can take it for what it is. I don't pretend I'm happy about it, but there's nothing that can be done. Tippett said himself that me going home is very unlikely."
Minerva shot him a look of sympathy.
"Well, as one of the only few that will know about you, I'm here if you'd ever like to talk. I don't mean to tell me anything, just if you need someone," she offered.
"I appreciate that," Harry said sincerely, the situation only having become much stranger with his now former Transfiguration professor the same age as him. It would certainly be quite the experience getting to know the woman on equal footing. She smiled at him once more.
"Well, you know that I'm good at Transfiguration. What about you? What's your best subject?" she asked.
"Defense," Harry answered immediately. Minerva frowned.
"Defense is just a mixture of different branches of magic," she replied.
"I hadn't really thought of it that way," Harry said, somewhat taken aback. She made a valid point. The spells used were varied between several topics.
"When you put it like that, I don't really know what I'm best at.
I suppose I'm good with charms and curses. He'd spent the previous school year teaching up to 7th year's defense, and the year before competing in the Triwizard Tournament. That had to count for something.
Minerva nodded.
What's your transfiguration like?
Probably average, Harry answered honestly. In truth, he hadn't put so much thought into the topic beyond what he learned in the classroom. It was useful, that he wouldn't deny, but he hadn't had much call for it. He doubted that changing Voldemort's robes into a dress would be much help, amusing, but little else.
Will you can't be that good at defense if your transfiguration isn't up to par?
She half-joked. What do you mean?
Harry was interested to hear what she had to say. The Professor McGonagall he had known had never mentioned transfiguration use in defense, but this one had piqued his curiosity.
Minerva pondered it herself for a moment, evidently thinking of a relevant example before nodding thoughtfully as she drew her wand.
If you'd go on to block a spell, how did you do it?
She asked.
I'd use a shield or dodge it, Harry answered. Minerva nodded.
But if you were stuck somewhere narrow and you couldn't dodge?
She had charms are tiring to use and not always reliable.
There are spells designed to destroy them.
That's true, Harry acknowledged. What would you do?
If there was nothing around me to use as cover or to intercept a spell, I would conjure something,
she said simply, demonstrating by seemingly creating a sizable rock from nothing.
It may be destroyed by some spells, but it will block even the most dangerous curses.
Harry nodded appreciatively. He had seen Dumbledore do something similar when he used parts of the Statue of Magical Brethren during his fight with Voldemort in the atrium.
That's brilliant, he breathed, thinking of how he could incorporate it into his own dueling.
That's not all,
Minerva continued, her eyes widening excitedly at having a captive audience.
You can also use it to attack. You can conjure things and banish them. And when you get really good, you can use almost anything as a weapon.
This time she turned her attention to a chair in the corner of the room, and with a wave of her wand, it was transfigured into a snarling wolf that bounded towards Harry.
Bloody hell, he gasped as he drew his own wand.
But before the beast had even crossed half the distance between them, it was a chair once more.
Sorry, Minerva grinned. Got to be that excited.
Harry waved her off and chuckled. No wonder she had become a transfiguration professor. He had never met anyone so passionate about a subject.
It's all right, he assured her.
I get your point, and you've given me a lot to think about. Minerva positively beamed.
Give it a try,
she urged.
Give what a try?
Anything you'd like to,
Minerva replied.
Try using transfiguration as if you were in a duel.
I don't really know any spells that would work like that.
That's because you never thought of them in that way,
Minerva returned with a grin.
What was the first spell you learned?
Harry snorted at the memory of his class attempting to turn a matchstick into a needle. There wasn't a matchstick to be found, but there was a quill on a nearby table, and with a tap of his wand, he turned it into what he wished for it to be.
Minerva's eyebrows rose considerably.
I thought you said you weren't very good at this,
she muttered, inspecting his work.
I turned a quill into a needle,
Harry pointed out confusedly. Minerva scoffed and shook her head when she realized he wasn't merely being humble.
No, you turned something organic into something synthetic, she explained. Not only that, but you also shrunk it to several times smaller than its natural state. That's really advanced transfiguration.
I thought everyone could do that, Harry returned with a shrug. I didn't really think about what I was doing. Minerva gave him a look of disbelief.
The simple thing would have been to keep it to the same size for a start, she informed him. Your magic and intent are really in sync. They must be to be able to do what you did.
Harry shrugged. He had no idea what he had done, but if this girl was as surprised as she seemed to be, he had evidently done something more than what he believed he had.
He did that unintentionally. Then you're better at transfiguration than you thought,
the girl insisted.
Most students won't be able to do what you just did before they leave here.
That Harry struggled to believe. He had never been conditioned to accept praise, and he began to feel awkward as the girl bestowed it upon him.
I really didn't even think about it, he reiterated.
Minerva nodded before retrieving a log from the pile next to the fire and breaking it into several pieces.
Try again,
she encouraged, indicating one of the chunks of wood.
But this time, don't turn it into a needle. Turn it into a metal spike.
Harry sighed, but focused on what he wanted to achieve before waving his wand over the target. The result this time was less than admirable. The spike he tried to create was more of a warped metal rod with the pattern of the wood still visible.
You overthought it, Minerva explained. It is the same principle as what you did first, but easier. You need to see what you want it to become before you change it. Try again, she urged.
Harry nodded and took a deep breath, imagining what he wanted the piece of wood to become. When he was ready, he cast the spell once more.
"You did it!"
Minerva cheered, picking up the metal spike he had created and checking it over.
"This is brilliant, Harry!"
"It is?" he asked skeptically. The girl nodded.
"This is why we are taught this spell first. It is to prepare us to do the same thing, but on a bigger and more complex scale. It is the foundation that we build our entire skill set and transfiguration on."
"Okay," Harry replied uncertainly.
"It's quite sweet that you don't even realize what you've done,"
Minerva replied amusedly.
"Just one more demonstration,"
she asked. Harry could not deny her. Her enthusiasm was rather contagious, and he found that he was enjoying her company. With an exaggerated sigh, he gestured for her to explain what she required of him.
"This time, I want you to do the same thing you just did, but to the rest of the pieces of wood at the same time."
"Isn't that difficult?" Harry asked.
"It is," Minerva agreed. "But not as difficult as what you did first. Go on, get it right,"
she encouraged. With a shake of his head, Harry focused once more and carried out the task, eliciting a joyous laugh from the girl as she checked over his work.
"How much work do you put into this away from the classroom?"
she asked, squinting at one of his creations to take in the finer details.
None,
Harry answered.
"None?"
Minerva said with a raised eyebrow.
"You've never put in extra work in transfiguration?"
"No, nothing more than the homework we've been given," Minerva huffed irritably before grinning once more.
"Then you're natural at this,"
she returned, shoving him playfully.
"Charles is really good, too."
"Charles?"
"The other Poulter boy,"
Minerva clarified. "Oh, right, him," Harry shrugged. Harry didn't know Charles, didn't even know if he was related to him, and Minerva gave him a look of sympathy.
"Sorry, I got a wee bit carried away. I forgot."
Harry waved her off. "It's fine," he assured her. "This will just take some getting used to." The high he had felt while completing the task set for him had vanished, and Harry felt the darker mood begin to descend once more.
"I guess it's not just you that puts your foot in it," she muttered.
Harry snorted. "Well, I suppose that just makes us even." Minerva nodded, and the two fell silent for a few moments before she spoke once more.
"Don't keep it all in, Harry," she said finally. "It won't help if you just let it eat away at you. Find something worthwhile to put the energy into. An idle mind is one that becomes bogged down with things that are out of your control. That's what Professor Dumbledore told me."
"Dumbledore?" Minerva gave him a sad smile.
"He's a clever man.
If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here doing what I am," she explained. "He gave me something to lose myself in, so the other things I couldn't control didn't matter as much. I think that would help you too."
The girl was being sincere, and though Harry was curious, he did not press her for what she was referring to. It was something that bothered her still. He did not need to be a master in legilimency to see that. "I will," he answered simply. "Maybe I should speak to the headmaster and see what he suggests," he decided as he stood. "It's not like I have much of an idea of what I can do here. You won't even have CDs here yet."
"What's a CD?"
Minerva asked. "Just a muggle thing, where I came from," Harry answered as he exited through the portrait hall, leaving behind a thoroughly confused girl in his wake.